Friday, April 28th, 1944. Dearest Kitty, I've never forgotten my dream of Peter Schiff, see the beginning of January. Even now, I can still feel his cheek against mine, and that wonderful glow that made up for all the rest. Once in a while, I'd had the same feeling with this Peter, but never so intensely. Until last night. We were sitting on the divan, as usual, in each other's arms. Suddenly, the everyday Anne slipped away, and the second Anne took her place. The second Anne, who's never overconfident or amusing, but wants only to love and be gentle. I sat pressed against him and felt a wave of emotion come over me. Tears rushed to my eyes. Those from the left fell on his overalls, while those from the right trickled down my nose and into the air and landed beside the first. Did he notice? He made no movement to show that he had. Did he feel the same way I did? He hardly said a word. Did he realize he had two Annes at his side? My questions went unanswered. At 8:30, I stood up and went to the window, where we always say goodbye. I was still trembling. I was still Anne number two. He came over to me, and I threw my arms around his neck and kissed him on his left cheek. I was about to kiss the other cheek when my mouth met his, and we pressed our lips together. In a daze, we embraced, over and over again, never to stop. Oh. Peter needs tenderness. For the first time in his life, he's discovered a girl. For the first time, he's seen that even the biggest pests also have an inner self and a heart, and are transformed as soon as they're alone with you. For the first time in his life, he's given himself and his friendship to another person. He's never had a friend before, boy or girl. Now we've found each other. I, for that matter, didn't know him either, and never had someone I could confide in. And it's led to this. The same question keeps nagging me. Is it right? Is it right for me to yield so soon, for me to be so passionate, to be filled with as much passion and desire as Peter? Can I, a girl, allow myself to go that far? There's only one possible answer. I'm longing so much, and have for such a long time. I'm so lonely, and now I've found comfort. In the mornings, we act normally. In the afternoons, too, except now and then. But in the evenings, the suppressed longing of the entire day, the happiness and the bliss of all the times before come rushing to the surface, and all we can think about is each other. Every night after our last kiss, I feel like running away and never looking him in the eyes again. Away, far away into the darkness and alone. And what awaits me at the bottom of those 14 stairs? Bright lights, questions, and laughter. I have to act normally and hope they don't notice anything. My heart is still too tender to be able to recover so quickly from a shock like the one I had last night. The gentle Anne makes infrequent appearances, and she's not about to let herself be shoved out the door so soon after she's arrived. Peter's reached a part of me that no one has ever reached before, except in my dream. He's taken hold of me and turned me inside out. Doesn't everyone need a little quiet time to put themselves to rights again? Oh, Peter, what have you done to me? What do you want from me? Where will this lead? Oh, now I understand Bep. Now that I'm going through it myself, I understand her doubts. If I were older and he wanted to marry me, what would my answer be? Anne, be honest. You wouldn't be able to marry him, but it's so hard to let go. Peter still has too little character, too little willpower, too little courage and strength. He's still a child, emotionally no older than I am. All he wants is happiness and peace of mind. Am I really only 14? Am I really just a silly schoolgirl? Am I really so inexperienced in everything? I have more experience than most. I've experienced something almost no one my age ever has. I'm afraid of myself. Afraid my longing is making me yield too soon. How can it ever go right with other boys later on? Oh, it's so hard, the eternal struggle between heart and mind. There's a time and a place for both, but how can I be sure that I've chosen the right time? Yours, Anne M. Frank. Tuesday, May 2nd, 1944. Dearest Kitty, Saturday night I asked Peter whether he thinks I should tell Father about us. After we'd discussed it, he said he thought I should. I was glad. It shows he's sensible and sensitive. As soon as I came downstairs, I went with Father to get some water. While we were on the stairs, I said, "Father, I'm sure you've gathered that when Peter and I are together, we don't exactly sit at opposite ends of the room. Do you think that's wrong?" Father paused before answering. "No, I don't think it's wrong. But Anne, when you're living so close together as we do, you have to be careful." He said some other words to that effect, and then we went upstairs. Sunday morning, he called me to him and said, "Anne, I've been thinking about what you said." Oh, I knew what was coming. "Here in the annex, it's not such a good idea. I thought you were just friends. Is Peter in love with you?" "Of course not," I answered. "Well, you know, I understand both of you, but you must be the one to show restraint. Don't go upstairs so often. Don't encourage him more than you can help. In matters like these, it's always the man who takes the active role, and it's up to the woman to set the limits. Outside, where you're free, things are quite different. You see other boys and girls. You can go outdoors, take part in sports and all kinds of activities. But here, if you're together too much and want to get away, you can't. You see each other every hour of the day, all the time, in fact. Be careful, Anne, and don't take it too seriously." "I don't, Father. But Peter's a decent boy, a nice boy." "Yes, but he doesn't have much strength of character. He can easily be influenced to do good, but also to do bad. I hope for his sake that he stays good, because he's basically a good person." We talked some more and agreed that Father would speak to him too. Sunday afternoon, when we were in the front attic, Peter asked, "Have you talked to your father yet, Anne?" "Yes," I replied. "I'll tell you all about it. He doesn't think it's wrong, but he says that here, where we're in such close quarters, it could lead to conflicts. We've already agreed not to quarrel, and I plan to keep my promise." "Me too, Peter, but Father didn't think we were serious. He thought we were just friends." "Do you think we still can be?" "Yes, I do. How about you?" "Me too. I also told Father that I trust you." "I do trust you, Peter, just as much as I do Father. And I think you're worthy of my trust. You are, aren't you?" "I hope so." He was very shy and blushing.